Runaway Road by Sue Diven, read by Jacob Baird and Charlotte McCurry. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. John Newton, 1779. Chapter 1. Ezra. Lost cause, that's me. Heard it, know it, live it. If there are sides, pick the other one. Don't whinge it didn't warn you. A few years back, Evie would know exact. There was a winter we had these mad religious foster parents. There's been others like that who were grand, but these ones took no rest for the wicked, real serious. Sunday? A day of rest, my arse. As if school wasn't bad enough Monday to Friday, on weekends we got Sunday school. Torture. We're born bad. All of us. That's what they taught. No way is it everyone, but me? Yeah. The hat fits. My real dad taught me to own the darkness, inside and out. Believe me, we were out in it most nights. Other dads lift you to walk on walls, lift your head with praise. Mine lifted me to windows, taught me to lift whatever I could get my hands on. Lewis shuffles behind me on the grass in the back garden. I use a bench and the outside tap as footholds and reach the screwdriver into the slim gap between the frame and the upper kitchen window. I've already tried the door, but no joy. I'm not six now, I'm 16. No da, no darkness, just dusk. I case the joint first, obviously. Check the times of day the lights go off, the red SUV disappears from the driveway. At that kind of homework, I'm an A grade. Problem is, for Lewis, although he's near 18, for him, this is a whole new subject. I'm regretting agreeing to this before I even bust the clasp. His folk are Londonderry lawyer types, so he can't exactly admit to them that he's in debt to his dealers. I owe them too, but buttons compared to him. I'd have had it paid off ages ago, except for their off-the-chart interest hikes. Our dealers, aka loyalist thugs, will clear me if I skill Lewis to start clearing his debt, and since it's the only currency I've got, it's worth the one-time risk to get free of their tangle. I don't even need to nick anything. But the winning ticket would be an iPad charger because Evie's gone and lost hers somewhere and I haven't the energy to face one of her meltdowns. Social says we're long past our last roll of the dice in getting adopted. Evie might have had a chance age 3, but I was 9, just like I was that night we left. 9's not cute. 9 screams damaged goods. Now I'm gone 16, but Evie's only 9. She deserves a mam. A da's a bonus. Whatever. Just family. Proper family. And more than just a head case big brother. The parents who have us at the minute are high-flying and distant, more skyrockets than helicopter type. But they're better than a care home. Duvets, food, Netflix, they even do potato waffle Wednesdays. What's keeping you? I glare down at Lewis and hold a finger to my lips. Only asking. He's chewing his glove, head cocked like a turkey 2 weeks before Christmas. He's the type that could be cocking a gun someday with the dealers himself. Swallowing any response, I focus on applying pressure to the screwdriver at the right angle. The extra length of it gives leverage, another thing well learned from Da, ages before I was loosed on science teachers. Creep like a cat, he'd say. Only the real creep was him. With a jolt, the clasp gives. Looping my arm through, I reach the handle on the larger window from the inside. Magic. Creep like a cat. Slither like a snake. Them days he'd made it like a game. I'm not for arguing that the adrenaline kick isn't still hot. Was then, is now, and ever shall be. The slithering bit isn't as fluid at 5'9", but the technique is branded into my DNA. Slide through the window at an angle, pull your feet behind across the draining board, and use the angles of the kitchen tubs to lower onto the tiles so your runners don't squeak. Back then, it was faded Spider-Man runners with worn-out Velcro tabs. No bravado jumping, no sound, just your heart pumping in your ears. I've the kitchen cased before Lewis makes it through the window frame, snagging his crotch in the clasp and wincing like a wean. His designer trainers land louder on the tiles than clapped out fakes. The place isn't as lush as I'd expected, but still well beyond breadline. Quality fitted kitchen, wooden, an oak family-sized table at the far end topped with a bowl of mandarins. Everything feels specific, uncluttered. There's an old landline phone in the corner. The hob dials have strange luminous glue dots by the numbers. Now that we're inside, Lewis has regained his swagger.